Line, Willie, D-Base, 102.5, 106.3, The Game and The Game Nashville app. We're live from the Hiller Plumbing, Heating, Cooling, and Electrical Game Studios, and we are streaming live on Twitch, Twitter, YouTube, and Facebook Live every single day. Our video streaming is brought to you by Superbook. Download their app today and use promo code THEGAME. Ask D-Mace in 30 minutes. Get those questions in for D-Mace. 615-737-1025 is our phone number. We're breaking down the kicking position. Willie, you brought up that you thought the Titans, the reason why they're kind of on this kicking carousel, at least as of late, is the money. That Randy Bullock is a vested veteran in the NFL, and they didn't want to bring him back because they didn't want to guarantee the money after week one. I look at it and I think, like, hearing Mike Vrabel's frustration on Tuesday afternoon at training camp proves to me that he is just as tired of this as we are. We've been talking about this all week. We counted, what, 12, 13 kickers since 2019 that this team has gone through?
Mm-hmm.
13 kickers in the last 4 years. Like, that is insane. It is unacceptable. And I think Mike Vrabel is just as tired of it as we are. That if they found a guy that they liked, that they trusted, that they felt that they could count on, I believe that the Titans would pay that kicker. I don't think the Titans are a cheap organization. They paid Jeffrey Simmons. They had the highest offer for DeAndre Hopkins between themselves and the Patriots. They pay their players well.
It's not about them being cheap. I've never said
I don't think
the Titans are cheap. Each team prioritizes a position. Just like anything in life, you prioritize things and everything is in an order. And whatever is at the top is the most important, and whatever is at the bottom is the least important. I just don't think, just like I thought about the receivers, some teams value receivers in regards to pay a lot different than what the Titans do. Some Titans value the running back different than a lot of teams do. I think the Titans value the kicker in regards to pay a lot different than maybe some other teams may. And they don't want to pay. They want to sort of get a bargain. I'm saying that loosely. Mm-hmm. They want to get a bargain for a guy that they hope, a young guy that they hope that they can keep for the next 8, 9, 10, 11 years where we don't have to keep going back. But sometimes that doesn't happen. And I think that's what they're looking for.
I just can't believe they're looking for a bargain.
But let's
I think
say,
they're looking for a reliable kicker.
A reliable bargain kicker.
But the money does the two crisscross at some point. Let's take last year with the punting. Brett Kern was an expensive punter because he's one of the best to ever play. Like he was a great. I'll never forget in the broadcast of the victory in Foxborough, Tom Brady's last game as a Patriot. Bill Belichick was quoted. Tony Romo and Jim Nantz quoted Belichick. He said, "I think Brett Kern is their best player." And, of course, he had a great game in that game. It was a total field position game. You could argue Brett Kern might have been the difference in that game, or one of the big reasons they won that game, for sure. So they were paying him handsomely. But last year, it did come down to Kern's getting a little bit older. They owe him a lot of money for a punter. And then here's this kid that can boom it, maybe long range. He's the guy. He's not perfect. Right, we mentioned his talent. He broke a record for distance, but there's still a lot of things that Brett Kern probably still today could do better than Ryan Stonehouse. But they went with Stonehouse. That was a choice, right? The salary cap does give you choices. Like you said, if you need it now, if you're like, I got to get it now, there's usually ways you can cram it into your current salary cap, but it has you dealing with something down the road too. So I think they just with Randy Bullock, yes, they thought he did a decent job last year, but it didn't add up to what they would owe him if they kept him. So they cut him.
They thought he did a decent job.
Well, he missed three kicks the whole year. Like, but he's not the greatest kicker to ever play. Don't get me wrong, but I don't think because he was so bad last year is the reason. It was just he wasn't worth over $3 million, which is I think this is what they would have to pay him if they hadn't touched his contract. Mm-hmm.
Let's get your thoughts on
it. But I would not be totally shocked if he comes back after the whole vested veteran thing, if he's the guy.
I think
or Ryan Succop, who's sitting out there.
I would be surprised if Randy Bullock came back.
Speaking of Succop, when you watch that,
Swamp Kick.
And he missed the kick.
He did miss the kick.
I watched the first one.
What goes around comes around. Let's get your thoughts on it. Our phone lines are driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Michael is in Madison with a thought on the kicker. What's up, Michael?
Hey, guys. Thanks for taking my call. Mm-hmm. So I asked this question to Jared a couple days ago about, and it basically turned into a discussion of how much is one win worth in dollar signs to an NFL team. Because you can make the argument that if we had a Robbie Gould or a Mason Crosby or someone like that last year, we absolutely would have won the Giants game, and we may have won the Chargers game. That's more of a toss-up because of how that ended. But for sure, if we had one of these good kickers, we definitely would have won that Giants game because it came down to a missed kick at the very end of the game.
Right, but so you're also assuming that these guys never miss kicks. The other guys, if you look at their stats, that's part of the reason why they got cut. High veteran salaries, done a lot in the league, but last year they weren't as good. So you can't just say, well, if they'd have had Robbie Gould would have made all the big kicks.
If they would have had a kicker that made a kick, whoever it might be, whether it's Robbie Gould, yeah, or whether it's Derek Mason.
Sure.
If they would have made that kick, that was
I get it, but some of those guys do miss kicks. Steven Gostkowski was a pretty good kicker for the Patriots.
Thanks for your comment,
won
Michael.
Super Bowls and missed a lot of kicks when he came to the Titans. Those guys do miss kicks. Boswell from the Steelers really had a rough year last year. He's been the Steelers kicker forever. So it's never something that you can say, because you have a veteran kicker, he's going to make every big kick.
No, you can't. But it's
easy to say that when you're like, the grass is greener on the other side. Our guy just missed, so if we had their guy, he would have made it.
I can't say if they had Robbie Gould that they would have won the division. I can say that if they had a kicker that made those kicks, they would have won the division.
But you're asking perfection then, because he only missed three kicks the whole year. So if he was perfect, they would have won maybe two more games?
And they would have won the division and made the playoffs. And those are
But you're asking
that's
for perfection.
A completely different
perfection.
Story and completely different situation. Mm-hmm. Also, let's
no
not
kicker
forget,
was perfect.
The Titans field goals per game, field goal attempts per game was the lowest in the NFL last year. You can say part of that's on
offense.
The offense.
Yeah, it's bad
and
offense.
You can say that's part of the kicker. Because if I don't have faith in my kicker, I'm not sending my kicker out.
Okay.
Because the Titans didn't have the 32nd worst offense in the NFL.
Well, but we mentioned damn near close.
It was bad.
From a pass standpoint, it was damn
bad,
near
but
close.
But it wasn't 32nd.
But I'm not going to.
They just didn't send him out there.
I'm not
very
going
frequently.
To say. Now, there could have been a small part to that. Like, okay, where are we relative to what the kicker's distance is? Do we punt it and sort of decide, field position? What do we do? I don't think it may have a little to do with the kicker's range, but I think most of the times it's how the game's flowing. Is it a close game? Can we get away with playing field positions, rely on our defense, who was one of the better defenses in the National Football League, backed them up, forced them to kick it. Now we get the ball starting on the 50, first down. That's better for me. Unless I got a Justin Tucker, that's the route I'm going. You know, if I got to kick a 50, anything further than 52 yards, I'm thinking more so in that in that mind thought of field position.
Okay.
I don't want a chance at field position. My defense is good enough. We're going to back them down, and we're going to get the ball starting somewhere around midfield.
All right. Let's put an example that happened. My crack staff went through some of the games because also let's remember, you got the ball at the 35. It's third and four. Mm-hmm. You're thinking ahead.
Yeah.
The ball is at the, let's say, the 39-yard line. Mm-hmm. Okay. What do you do on third down? Do you think, okay, let's run it twice? I'm going to give it to Derrick Henry twice. We're going to get 4 yards. You can do that.
Yeah.
Like, you can be thinking ahead. Mm-hmm. What kind of game is it? A low-scoring game? And like you said, most of the time the Titans are thinking, we're going to win a low-scoring game. We're not going to win.
So field position means something.
Field position is good. So all of these go into whether you actually attempt a field goal or not. Some of it's happenstance, right? Some years it seems like you could be on a bad team. Like, I've had this in fantasy. Sometimes you're like, well, just take the kicker for the best high-scoring offense. Well, that high-scoring offense kicks a lot of extra points, but maybe not as many field goals. And then there could be a bad team where they just attempt a heck of a lot of field goals. They're not good in the red zone, and that ends up being a good fantasy kicker. So here's the situation. First drive of the game at Arrowhead. Malik Willis at quarterback. You're playing the Chiefs.
Mm-hmm.
It is 4th and 5 from the 39. Mm-hmm. The choices are 56-yard field goal with Bullock, mm-hmm. or punt it or go for it. They did not kick the field goal.
From the 39?
Yeah. They did not. They chose not to try the 56-yarder. I mean, but that's one of those where it's like, are you is there a right or wrong answer? It's like 50-50 either way, mm-hmm. right? Now, if you had Justin Tucker.
It's different. You're throwing him out.
But
there.
You're also playing Patrick Mahomes. Are you going to beat the Chiefs? This is the beginning of the game. Mm-hmm. Do you feel like you're going to beat the Chiefs 9-6? Probably not.
No.
That was a surprisingly low-scoring game that they almost pulled out. It was almost a miracle. But you see what I'm saying? Like, it's not all they didn't have faith in the kicker. I don't think that it's too simple to say the reason that they moved on from Bullock is they didn't trust Bullock. He did a pretty good job last year relative to all the other kickers in the league.
Why is that too simple to say?
Because he only missed 3 kicks the whole year. That he did not kick poorly last year. He missed one gigantic kick, no pun intended, in the first game against the Giants. They also screwed up at the end of the game. They could have made that field goal about 4 or 5 yards less, but they mismanaged the clock in the last 2 or 3 plays. And they made the kick from 47 or whatever it was instead of 42 or 43, which gives you a little higher percentage of making it.
But still, a 47-yard field goal is one that an NFL kicker needs to make.
Needs to make, but every kicker misses field goals.
Yes.
Every kicker misses field goals. Look, Robbie Gould last year, he missed some field goals. Let's see. He was 27 for 32, 84%.
And I think that
Randy Bullock was 17 for 20,
but
85%.
I think what we got to understand, Nancy, quickly before we go to break, is that, you know, most of these kickers, if you've kicked more than 25, 30 field goals last season, the average was right around a high 80, somewhere around there. Justin Tuck, as good as he is, he was only 86%. Mm-hmm. But we think of Justin Tuck as, Justin Tuck's damn near, you know, gold,
and
money.
It's the distance that sort of messed him up
because they sent him out there kicking 67-yard field goals.
Kick 60 plus.
Exactly.
Most of his misses are out that far.
And that's where the value comes from. Just as much as you can hit it every single time, it's also, can you hit from 50 plus?
Yes, but on average.
And Randy Bullock couldn't.
But on average, these kickers are kicking right around a high 80s on average. So if Bullock finished the season, you know, 85, somewhere around there, he's basically right where
league
the
average.
Kickers are. Yeah,
he's
where
average.
The kickers are.
And a lot of the better kickers who overall the long haul are great kickers were below average last year, like Boswell, like Robbie Gould. Gould was about average. I'll have to look, but Mason Crosby, I think, was below average. Some of it, like you said, Carolina, is are they daring to take the high. You know, sometimes it's just at the end of the half. You got nothing to lose. You'll just try one from 56, 57. That goes against the kicker sometimes. But all I'm saying is I think it's way too simple to say, well, they didn't trust Bullock. He was 1 for 2 from 50-plus. So it's not like he missed 5 from 50-plus.
And that's another problem is they're not attempting 50-plus yard field goals because they don't trust him from
50-plus. Or they didn't get down there in scoring territory as often as a lot of other offenses. True. They didn't have a good offense.
No, I'm not arguing that in the slightest.
Teams go for it on 4th and 2, 4th and 3, more often than they used to. So that could have been the case last year. The score of the game, if you're down by 7.
Yeah,
down
I don't
by
know
seven,
every, you know, fourth down
well,
they decide
okay.
to or not.
And because we don't know, I don't know, you don't know.
We can look
you
back
can't,
at it.
But you can't just deduce that they didn't trust Randy Bullock. It's more the salary cap. It's the salary cap.
I think that they would have paid a kicker if they trusted that kicker. With the amount of times that this team has brought in and released kickers, I would hope that they would at least be willing to kicker that they trust to pay a kicker that they trusted.
In week 2.
I just don't think that they trust him. He missed big kicks and he didn't have range.
So let's see who the kicker is in week 2.
And if it's Randy Bullock, I don't know if it's going to be Bullock. Willie, 615.
It's going to be a veteran though. I'll bet you.
Maybe so. 615-737-1025 is our phone number. We'll get your thoughts on this coming up next. Ask D. Mace in just over 10 minutes. Caroline Willie, D. Mace, 1025, 1063 The Game. Caroline Willie, D. Mace, 1025, 1063 The Game in The Game, Nashville. Hey, tune in for Nashville Sounds Baseball today at 6:05 p.m. on 94.9 The Fan. The Sounds take on the Gwinnett Stripers, AAA affiliate of the Atlanta Braves. Sounds Baseball on 94.9 The Fan, presented by 312 Pizza Company, Farm Bureau Health Plans, and Family Leisure. Bring down the kicking position. Titans bring in Michael Badgley, and it's just been the carousel continues to go round and round. And we were talking at the break, and Willie said, that I expect the kicker to be perfect, and that's not the case.
I'm not saying just you. I think the standard for the kickers has gone way up. People almost expect you're surprised when a guy misses. Whereas when D-Mace entered the league, I just picked a year at random, 1997, it was only 78% the kickers hit. Go back to 1987, 70%.
That's a totally different game. 1977,
58%. My point is, we've gone from over time, a kicker like, okay, maybe he'll make it. We got a chance to get three, to we expect that if you are inside of 50 yards, you should make it. And
that's just the league. That's just where we're at in the league.
But they're still going to miss a few, is my point. You're not going to be 100%. The league average last year was 85%. Mm-hmm. The league average. That's its average. Okay? And so some of it depends on how often they ask you to make the 55-yarder or, just try a prayer at the very end of a half or end of a game. That's going to affect that. But my point is the kickers get better every year collectively. They get better.
Yeah.
But they're not going to be perfect. They're never going to be perfect.
And I don't need them to be perfect. I wouldn't expect perfection. Mm-hmm. And it's not just the percentage for me for Randy Bullock. Because you're right, he missed three field goals this past year, one from 50-plus and two between 40 and 49. It's not necessarily the percentage. It's the range for me. It's the fact that from 40 to 49, if you're an NFL kicker, you need to be making those kicks. Mm-hmm. If you're between, 50, 52, 54, 55, you need to be relied upon to at least send the kicker out there, to have enough trust in your kicker that they can keep you in that game and that they can make that kick.
Okay.
I don't believe the Titans had that trust in Randy Bullock to hit consistently within that 40 to 49 range that you need to be consistent from as an NFL kicker.
Okay, let's go through the kickers last year from 40 to 49 yards. Justin Tucker, 4 for 5. So he missed one, which is... You're surprised, right?
He missed a 67-yard field goal.
He missed one from 40 to 49.
Did he miss one from 40?
Yeah, these are the kickers from 40.
It must have been a hurricane.
Well, this is going to – right, but that's my thing. We expect perfection from 40 to 49, right? You just said it.
I don't expect perfection.
Yes, you do. You just said it. From 40 to 49, you expect it. Here are the
you
kickers.
You should be consistent. As an NFL kicker, I should be able to rely on you to hit kicks from 40 to 49. I don't think that's asking very much.
Is Justin Tucker reliable?
Yes,
he missed one. He missed one last
year. And that's fine because Justin Tucker can hit from 60.
Okay.
No other kicker in the league can do that. He's special.
Nick Folk. Mm-hmm. Kicks for New England. Bill Belichick. I think he expects a high level. 10 for 14 from 40 to 49.
He still got a job?
I don't know. Riley Patterson, 10 for 13, Jacksonville. Robbie Gould, looking for a job right now, 7 for 11 from 40 to 49. Cade York, 6 for 8. Jason Sanders, 12 for 13. Graham Gano, 10 for 11. Tyler Bass, Bills, 10 for 11. Will Lutz, New Orleans, 4 for 8. Kamari Fairbairn, 9 for 10. So, they're all going to miss one or two. That's my point.
And I'm not arguing that.
Collectively, you should hit about 85% for the season, or you are below average.
Mm-hmm.
And you should probably hit from 40 to 49, you should probably hit well over 80%, but you're going to miss one or two here and there. That's my point. And when the game's on the line, does the team have confidence you're going to make that? And Bullock missed one, which didn't help him, but my theory is
kick against the Chargers as well.
Sure. So you'd name two of his three misses for the whole season. Did not miss an extra point. He went 17 for 20.
I keep coming back to this extra point. You're an NFL kicker. That's your job.
Okay, let's go through the extra points last year.
I mean,
Justin Tucker missed an extra point last year, 31 for 32.
But there are certain things that Justin Tucker can do that I can give more grace for because there are things that Justin Tucker can do that no kicker in the league can do.
Greg Joseph, who still has a job, went 40 for 46. For extra points.
Okay.
He missed six.
I think
he's still the kicker.
I think we're just looking at numbers now. And if we're just looking at numbers, we can have this argument going back and forth. Well, no, he's again, whatever. we don't know the circumstances of the kicks. We don't know whether it was weather, whether it was not, whether it was a hold that was misplaced.
Right.
I believe the Justin Tuck kick, it may have been a mishandled
Very
snap.
Well could have been.
I think to my recollection. But when you have these kickers, to me, y'all know how I feel about kickers. Like, everybody has a job. Everybody has a job. If I run a slant or a hitch route, let's just say that hitch route, because, you know, in between that 30 and 39 yards, I can't kick a field goal. I'm not going to even try to kick a field goal. But a kicker can't catch a hitch pass either.
It's
my job. So if you throw me 10 hitches and the guy's backed off, you expect me to catch all 10 of them, right? No matter what, you should be able to catch a hitch 10 times out of 10. And majority of the time, 99.9999% of the time, that's what I'm going to do. There may be a chance that I drop one, very seldom, but it happens. With a kicker between that 30 and 39, I expect that to be a hitch to you. That's a layup. In between 40 and 45, that's a slant. You should catch it. You should kick it. You should make it. If it's wide open there, nobody's covering you, the defensive back off, the quarterback throws the ball, it's a good ball, you should kick it. You should catch it. That's how I feel about a kicker. In between, I can't make it. I probably couldn't even make a 10-yard kick. I can't make it. But that is your job. Your only job is to make kicks in this league. So to me, you damn right I'm expecting you to be perfect at a certain distance. In between that 30 and 50 yards, you need to be damn near perfect, unless there's weather and other circumstances that you can't avoid. I could see if there were a lot of wind, you know, if it was raining, something like that, you can't avoid that as a kicker. But if it's a good day or just a cold day with no wind,
Giants day was,
I expect you to make it. You need to make it. Why? Because we're busting our ass to get you in a position to kick a field goal. Damn it, kick it. That's how I feel. I can't do it, just like you can't catch the passes that I catch. So I can say, listen, all of us work hard on this team. We all have a job to do. Do your damn job. Mm-hmm. That's all I'm asking you to do. I'm not asking you to tackle anybody. I'm not asking you to throw a pass. I'm not asking you to do this or do that. I'm asking you to do the one thing that you are really good at, and that's kicking. And if you can't make it from a certain distance, I'm not asking you to consistently make 53, 54, 55-yard kicks. Not many guys can get that. But if you're sort of, you know, if I ask you to kick 10, 55-yarders, I hope you can at least make four of them, you know, because those four might get us to a place we want to be at the end of the year. But if I'm asking you to kick 30, 39, 40, 49, and the weather's pretty ideal, then I expect you to make all of them. What's so hard about that? I don't understand. Again, we can throw numbers at one another, but we don't know, obviously, the circumstance which they missed the kick. But then again, I, as a player, I expect you. And you expect
the coaches
kicker,
do. The coaches
you
do.
You expect to make
the fans
that.
Do. The kickers do. But they do. They are human, is all my point is. And so you go down the list. They all missed. I shouldn't say they all. There are seasons where the guy is perfect from 40 to 49. But there are very good kickers that miss one here or there. Bullock had, I would say, a solid average, if not spectacular, season. A good season. He got the job done. It's either if you go through the years, Chris Boswell, like I mentioned, for Pittsburgh, been their kicker forever. He went 5 for 10 from 40 to 49 last year. He went into a slump.
Yeah,
it does happen. So you can't be perfect here. And I'm just, there's Boswell right now. He's NFL Network. They're showing the Steelers. He just made a field goal, so he's still going to be their kicker. So we're holding them to a very high standard. Getting back to my point of this whole thing, Bullock isn't there not because he didn't do the job last year. It's because he was more expensive than they chose to pay, and they're gambling that either they could find a new kicker cheap, which that failed. So now they have Badgley, who has the mantle for now. And then after week one, they're banking on there being a pool of three or four guys that you can go get that you don't have to guarantee their salary. That's my theory of what's going to happen.
And I just disagree with the theory.
So you think they should have kept Bullock?
No.
Okay, so who should be the kicker then?
I'm not a kicking expert. I don't know who should be the kicker.
Well, I've given you all the information, so you got to give me something. If it's not Bullock and it's not Badgley,
I disagree with
Mason Crosby, Ryan Succop.
I disagree with the argument that the reason that Randy Bullock is not here is because of the salary cap. I don't believe Titans trusted Randy Bullock enough to bring him.
So they did the right thing of moving him out.
Yes.
So there were a lot of guys that were like Randy Bullock. They were out there. So who should they have brought in?
I don't know. I mean, there's going to be a lot of kickers that are available after training camp. I'm sure they'll bring some of those guys in. I mean, a Mason Crosby, a Ryan Succop, sure, bring them in. See if they're going to be able to be at least a little bit more reliable and a little bit more trustworthy. That's all I'm saying is bring in a guy that you can trust that can hit from the distances that you need to hit them from. And whether that's, whether that's Nick Frazier, whether that's Ryan Succop, whoever it might be, that's all I'm saying that the Titans should do. I just don't think that they trusted Randy Bullock enough for what they needed him to do. But let's get into Ask D-Mace coming up next, 615-737-1025. Caroline Willie D-Mace, 1025-1063 The Game.
D-Mace. He played 15 years in the NFL.
Quick throw. Touchdown, Garrett Mason.
He had over 12,000 receiving yards.
And there he goes. 80-yard for the touchdown.
And now you can ask him anything. Question about football or life? Now is your time to ask D-Mace.
We'll welcome you in.
Now on Caroline, Willie, and
D-Mace.
On 102.5 and 106.3, The Game and The Game Nashville app.
Ask D-Mace. Get those questions in for D-Mace. 615-737-1025 is our phone number. Taking your calls and your texts. Anything that you want to bring up to our very own Derek Mason. Eric is on the line with a question for D-Mace. What's up, Eric?
Hey, guys, and I've also got a dad joke, and I'm going to give you a warning in advance. This joke might be a groaner, so so I'll just let you know in advance. Okay, for you, Deese Mace. How did the computer hacker elude police?
Man, how did a computer hacker elude police? I have no idea.
He ran somewhere.
I get it. Where, ransomware, software.
Yeah.
Got it?
Okay. What that was talked about, and you were talking a few minutes ago, I heard you talk about the kicker and everything like that, and I agree we should have a live kicker, but one of the things that kind of bothered me was the last year's first game opener against the Giants. A lot of people upset with the kicker that he missed the kick against the Giants, and I agree he should have made it, but to me, I think we didn't look at the bigger picture. But my point was, you never should have came to the point where you had to have a last-second kick. They blew a 13-0 lead. And to me, when you're up 13-0 or up big in games like that, you should put teams away. We couldn't get, the next score that was needed to kind of put the game on ice to do what things needed to be done and just let them hang around, where it came down to that. And while I'll agree you definitely need a reliable kicker to make kicks like that, stuff like that, but I just took a look at it from another perspective where a lot of times you're up by – double-digit scores and stuff like that. And I just feel like in those types of situations, it shouldn't come down to where you're having the last-second kick to win the game. Just want to get your thoughts on that. Guys, y'all take care. We'll talk to you again soon. You have a great weekend.
Yeah, thanks for your call, Eric.
Thank you, Eric. I mean, Eric's right. Looking at the big picture, they were up 13. Was it 13-0? Somewhere around there. They were up.
Giants game?
Yeah, Giants game. They were up. Second half came.
It was a great first half.
Yeah. Second half came and they just didn't play. And yes, it shouldn't be, up to the kicker, in a situation like that. But be as it may, you had an opportunity to kick a field goal and make it and win the game potentially for the Titans, and you didn't.
Mm-hmm.
I know that the offense sputtered in the second half and the defense gave up some big plays. I get all of that. But at the end of the day, you have a job to do as a kicker. And that job is to go out there and save our bacon every once in a while. Or the job is to go out there and make those kicks that are makeable. Again, in between that 30 and 50 yards, those are highly makeable kicks. Now, you start getting outside that 50, that's a little bit different, give or take. But I want you to hit more of them than not. But in between that 30 and that 49, 50 yards, you should make them. That's how I feel. I could be completely wrong on this, but that's just how I feel, because everybody's job is important, and everybody contributed in their own way. And the kicker, your contribution to this team is making field goals that we deem makeable, which are 30 to 50 makeable kicks.
And I would agree with the caller that Randy Bullock shouldn't have been in that position, that the Titans completely lost whatever mojo they had going into halftime. Like, I agree with that, but he was still in that position nonetheless.
Yeah. But in the NFL, a lot of games come down to the last few minutes.
Right.
Right?
That's how it's designed.
It's designed for that, no question about it. In college, in theory, you could have a powerhouse team where a guy – your kicker really doesn't – he could go through the entire year, literally, without ever having to make a big kick. There are that many – there are some teams from time to time that are that dominant. Mm-hmm. I can think of, like, some Steve Spurrier. I was like,
hell, LSU,
who is their kicker?
Years ago, was it 2-3 years
Don't
ago?
Don't bring it up. It was last season, and it was disgusting.
No, I mean 2 years ago when they didn't need their kicker.
Wait, okay,
they were
20,
scoring points with Burrow 3 years ago.
Yeah, in 2019.
They didn't need him.
Who was the kicker for the 2019?
Cade York.
How many times did he have to make a big kick for them to
win? Never.
We were pretty much up by 40 points every single game.
Just
but not,
never.
Not every game. There an Auburn game, Ole Miss game. Like, yeah. There were certain games that came
tight
down
game.
Being very close.
And Alabama game was sort of tight.
Yeah, Alabama game
but
tight.
They got way ahead in that game.
But do you remember the shoe game?
Oh, yeah.
Florida LSU game?
Yeah.
Where the Florida player picked up an LSU player shoe that came off and he chucked it. It came down to like a 55. Maybe it wasn't 55. It was a far field goal in the fog to win that game, to be a 500 team, baby. Let's go, 2020 LSU team. But yeah, I mean, it comes down to that. When you're the kicker, it'll come down to those situations when sometimes, you know, it's not always set up in the kicker's favor, but it's your job nonetheless.
Like, there are some NFL teams that are dominant enough. Like, Harrison Butker had a bad year last year. He's a good, talented kicker, had a bad year. Chiefs still won the Super Bowl because the Chiefs are dominant. The Titans are not a dominant team, so in theory, they're going to ask more of their kicker than a dominant team.
But I would look at, like, the Bengals, for example. I would call them a fairly dominant team, but they had to rely on their kicker to get them to the Super Bowl in 2021.
Well, yeah, and he got on a great roll.
Yeah.
And there are kickers that 1 year, they make every kick. And then the next year they miss a kick here and there.
Another texter, Texan, D-Mace, pushing back against your argument about the kickers doing their job. One texter texts in and asked D-Mace, did you not drop some passes that came to you that you should have caught? According to your argument, you weren't doing your job.
Exactly. And they told me I wasn't doing my damn job. And again, if I am tasked to catch footballs and I don't catch them, I'm not doing my job. I'm not one of these guys that, you know, do something and then don't take responsibility for it. No, you're right. If I have dropped some balls, it was my damn job to catch those balls. And everybody on the sideline, you know what they're doing. They're putting their heads in their hands like, oh, my goodness, Mace. You dropped. Like, we expect you to catch that. The same with kickers. I don't let them off the hook. Your job is to kick field goals. 30 to 49 should be gimmies for y'all. This is your job. I can't do it. I don't want to do it. But it's your job. You're doing it. This is the life you chose. This is what you wanted to do. So make the damn field goals. That's all I care about.
It's your job.
It's your job.
More questions for D-Maze coming up next. Caroline Willie, D-Maze, 1025, 1063, The Game. Ask D-Maze. 1025-1063, The Game. Get those questions in for DMA. 615-737-1025 is our phone number. Phone lines driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Wes and Hermitage is on the line with a question for DMA. What's up, Wes?
Happy Friday. Y'all know I have to call in with the dad joke. That's just part of it.
Give it to us.
DMA, man, and this one's bad. This one's bad. Why don't Pirates take a bath before they walk the plane?
Why don't Pirates what?
Why don't Pirates take a bath before they walk the plane?
I don't know.
You want to look good, right, when you're on the plane.
Exactly. I don't know.
Well, they're just gonna wash up on shore later. So, yeah, there you go.
Oh, have no.
That one. I like that one. I did like that one.
But here, let me set the scene for my question here. It's last week of the schedule. Titans and Jags are playing. Winner takes it all, goes to the playoffs. If you lose that game, you don't get a wild card spot. I think that's how close it's going to be. And Titans end up losing that game. But let's just say the Titans also lose by 1 or 2 points to the Saints in week one. This is exactly the same situation as we had last year, and the only thing that I keep hearing is, oh, you don't want to sign a kicker before the start of the season because it's going to lock you in. What I, at that point, I don't really care, because if it's going to come down to something like that, why are we not going to get Mason Crosby, Robbie Gould, Ryan Succop, making a move? We passed on McManus, and that literally irritates me to know he's playing for a division rival now. If we're in the same situation last year or this year as we were last year, where we missed the last game of the season off of a field goal from week one, how should we feel as Titans fans?
Okay, let's call this is, again, there is no right answer. But let me just give you the backdrop before D-Mace asks the question. Mm-hmm. Brandon McManus, last year, he's now with Jacksonville. Last year, 8 for 13 from 50. Of course, at Mile High Stadium, the ball carries.
Mm-hmm. Get a little help there.
He also missed 2 from 30 to 39 yards. Mm-hmm. So that's one of the reasons he's not back. So he didn't have a great year last year. Neither did the Broncos.
Again,
a lot of things went wrong for them.
A lot of things went wrong for them. So I'm just not going to blame him alone. Again, I look at it from this standpoint. You pay for what you get. If indeed you are, and teams do this, so it's not just a Titans thing. If you don't want to pay a kicker, a veteran kicker, guaranteed his contract for the season, if you choose to go the route that you're going, then you should expect the same results you've been getting the last couple of years, this carousel with kickers. To me, if you believe that, you are a good team, good enough to win this division, which the Titans do believe, don't you want to make sure that you have all your T's crossed and I's dotted, that you have, at least from the kicker standpoint, a guy, regardless of how much I got to pay him, I know I'm not paying him 10, 11, 12, 13 million, but I'm saying $1 million. If I know I got to pay a guy between $1 and $4 million, and I know my situation over the last course of the last 5 years, if he's going to make kicks, I'm going to bring him in and just pay him the money. I'm going to find the money from somewhere.
You can come and up not, with $4 million.
Yeah, and not penny pinch. And I'm not saying that the Titans are penny pinching, but when you hear the arguments, it's like, well, they don't want to pay this guy because he's a veteran guy and they don't want to have to guarantee the contract, and they would rather have this young guy because they don't have to pay him this much and yada, yada, yada. Well, basically, you're getting what you pay for. If you want a reliable kicker, a guy that has kicked in some big games, that have made big field goals, then sometimes you got to pay for that. And, hey, it may work. It may not work. But at least you're trying, because the stuff you've been doing lately hasn't worked, and you ain't paying nobody. You didn't cut 2 kickers already, and the season hadn't even got started. And you've given an indication that the next one, hey, this is your opportunity. You're a crack at it. We're going to bring somebody else. So don't get don't get used to that locker that you're in.
Don't get too comfortable.
Exactly, because we may change you if you miss a field goal. To me, get through all that, push all that stuff aside, pay the money for a guy that has been reliable in this league, whether it's Crosby, Bullock, anybody. They've been reliable in this league, and pay the guy and just roll with it. That's just me, and
that's how I feel. And I think that any good general manager and head coach in the NFL can get the best value out of their players. Like a really good GM can find a guy off of a practice squad, pay him league minimum, and that player can be a starting a caliber player for that team. Like that's what I think that sweet spot for GMs is how can I find the most value in my players? And sometimes you do have to find those players that you have to pay $1 or $2 million, but they're on your starting rotation. When you're in this position with the kickers, and when you have the type of offense that the Titans have, that they're going to be in a lot of close games, Sometimes you have to pay a premium for that. Mm-hmm.
Because that's it. To me, that's a specialized position.
So if you find one, you hold on.
You find one that's above or right at league average when you're talking, 49 to, anywhere from that 49 to 52, 53 yards. If you look at the league and he's right there at league average as far as making field goals, and then inside of that, he's damn near automatic. Now, there's going to be a miss here and there, but I expect you to make it. That's just how I am, because that's your job. But he's damn near close to perfect. Then you sign him. You sign him and you go with it, and hopefully you don't have to be in that position where he's kicking 54, 55-yard field goals. Because if you're putting him in that position every week to kick a 54, 55-yard field goal, then you're not doing your job as an offense. So I wish they would just settle on one kicker. I know it's not that easy to do, but you keep playing these. And you know who else it affects? It affects the team in general.
Yeah.
Like the morale of the team. It's just like, man, here we go with another kicker. So I don't trust this kicker going out there. Instead of saying, and you and I discussed this off air, like every position seems to get an opportunity more than one year. And I get it. Whether you quarterback, obviously you got to give him a little bit more time. But every other position, they give you time to sort of develop into who you're going to be. It doesn't seem like at least the last couple of years, they have done that with kickers here.
And I do think part of that is the nature of the position. And that's one thing that I don't know. I don't evaluate kickers for a living. I'm not a kicking expert. Mm-hmm. So I don't know if you can go and watch a guy kick and say he's got it or he doesn't. Like, I don't know if that's just something that you have or you don't. I don't know how quickly you can start to see that in a kicker. I'm not an evaluator, but that's what I would be interested to know. But I think kicking just has a shorter leash because you do so much less. The quarterback position is the hardest position in sports.
Yeah.
You need a few years to develop into that. But you look at maybe, first round receivers, for example. Your first round quarterback might start, might not. Your first round receiver, he's playing.
Yeah.
Because there's not as much intricacies of that position as there might be at the quarterback position that might need more time to develop into it. It's the same thing with offensive line or whatever position. Some positions need more time than others because there are more layers, more intricacies. Kicking on its surface doesn't have nearly the number of layers or intricacies that other positions might have. You kick it, you make it, or you don't. And I know it's way more complex than that. You've got a job. You've got one job to do.
It's a specialized position. That's why everybody cannot do it. And again, the evaluation, I don't know how much more you can sort of, how do you evaluate a kicker? It's like, do you make it? Do you miss it? Okay. If you're on the left hash, can you kick it from the left to the right and still, hit the uprights? Or if you're on the left hash, can you kick, at an angle? If we're deep, how do you kick? So if you're doing all of this stuff in your evaluation and you're making these kicks, and then you made some in games in college, what more am I evaluating? He has a strong leg. He's made it from both hash at distance. He's made it from distance. How much more do I need to evaluate if he's consistently making? Then I put him in an NFL game. Sometimes it works. Sometimes it doesn't. That doesn't mean you missed on your evaluation. It's just now you've gotten to the big leagues, and for whatever reason, it's changed. I don't know why, but it's changed. It doesn't seem like your mechanics have changed. Now, you got to constantly work on your mechanics, I'm sure, as a kicker, and you want to make sure they're, you're doing the same routine all the time. That's why, head coaches, right before a kicker kicks it, they want to call a timeout. Not necessarily because they think the kicker's going to make or miss. They're just trying to break his rhythm, his approach that he takes every kick. They're trying to break that. And if they can break that, then they figure we can throw him off a little bit and make him think about the kick. But if your mechanics are there and you're doing the same thing constantly over and over again, and you may miss a few here and there, what do you do as a coach? There's not much you can do. I don't know what you can do as a coach.
And let's be fair to Randy Bullock, too. over his 2 years as the kicker, he did make a lot of game-winning kicks. Mm-hmm. Overtime at Seattle, overtime at Indianapolis, last play of the game against the 49ers in the night game in 2021. So it's not like he never mm-hmm. made the big kicks. He was, I would call, NFL average, maybe a little better than average, I would argue, for a team that won most of the close games until the huge skid mm-hmm. at the end of last year. I think he's a good, solid NFL kicker that they had that, again, in my estimation, he was making a little too much money. They thought they could go cheap, and they might end up circling back to him. I'm still theorizing.
We'll get back into this, but coming up next, we'll chat with Kevin Ingram of the Vanderbilt Sports Network. Vanderbilt opens up the college football season tomorrow, hosting Hawaii. We'll get Kevin Ingram's thoughts on that coming up next. It's Caroline, Willie, D. Mace. Hey, your favorite game, Silly Underdog Picks, is back. Make your picks today at thegamenashville.com or the 1025 The Game app as Week 0 of college football kicks off this weekend. Silly Underdog Picks is presented by Volunteer Hose and Gasket and Superbook Sports.